But I might have to move yours.
I have the also printed on a sheet of paper.
Does it take a while?
On the left side of my cube.
Sometimes.
So if you forget, just look at my cube and pull that paper. It has all the information for that line.
Are you two ready? All right, this is the February 28th, 2018 Wolf Palm meeting. Let's start with who we have on the phone. Who do we have from NOAA Fisheries? Anyone from NOAA? How about ODFW?
This is Bernadette.
Good morning.
This is Ryan Couture.
Good morning, Ryan. Okay.
Good morning.
This is Greg Grandmember from Marion Forks Minto.
Ann Mullen from National Marine Fishery Service.
Do we have anyone from BPA? How about Fish and Wildlife Service? Grand Ronde Tribe?
Yeah, Lawrence Swabby.
Good morning, Lawrence.
Morning.
Anyone else on the phone that I've missed?
Aaron.
Right. Hi, Tammy. This is Dustin.
Oh.
Hello again, Tammy. This is Eric.
Good morning. Do we have anyone else from the valley? Are all your fish biologists out working in the field?
Several of them are sick, so.
Oh, that's no good. All right, before we get to who's in the room, do we have anyone from BPA or U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service? All right, this is Tammy with the Corps.
Fenton Khan with the Corps.
Chris Walker with the Corps.
Mary Karen Scullion.
Ricardo Walker, Corps.
All right. Do we have any updates to the agenda? The latest agenda that was sent out yesterday? No? Okay, let's move on to approving the January Wolf Palm minutes.
I didn't receive any comments from folks, so I think we can approve them.
Okay. We'll consider them approved. Moving on to action items. Chris?
Yeah, so the first one was an update on the pre-spawn mortality study. Thus, I called Ricardo Walker to kind of give the status on that.
Yeah, so we currently have a proposal from OSU on the pre-spawn mortality study. Currently, the plan is to do that study this year. However, we are in discussions with OSU to revise that, to look at encompassing more of the downstream effects of the trap versus at-trap info. So unless there's questions on that.
All right, next item. There was a change form submitted for the WFOP to include maintenance schedules for our turbine maintenance that we do at the Willamette Valley Project. The request was to include those again to the WFOP. Kind of the compromise was I was going to look into possibly sending folks those schedules for them to take a look at for whatever their reasons are. However, I haven't heard from BPA because it's really their call in terms of those documents being internal typically and not usually being able to post those or send those out to the public. So again, waiting on BPA to provide some guidance on that.
Did we lose Chris?
Yes. What was that?
Sounded like Pam.
Oh.
Did we have someone just join on the phone?
Someone went to unmute and hung themselves up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, probably.
That's a bummer. And we had two people join us in the room. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
This is Andy Traylor.
Holly Bellringer.
And then, so someone just joined us, it sounds like, perhaps, again?
Yep, this is Ann Mullen. We lost.
Hey, Ann, did you have a question?
No, I just got cut off.
Oh, okay. All right.
You were saying you hadn't heard from BPA. So is that a action item that BPA has been asked and they just haven't responded?
That's it exactly. It's really easy to send. It's just a matter of finding out what the clearances are. If you know it's appropriate to send out. I know in the past they've frowned upon that in terms of being an issue with power marketing and such stuff that I'm not all that familiar with. But I just want to make sure before I send it that it's okay with BPA, because on the schedule itself it says internal only. So again, before I send that, I want to check with them. The next item, form a task group for looking into adult fish facility operations. Again, that's an action item that I'll be undertaking in the next couple of months with help from some folks, hopefully. And
we need to add that to our list of task groups.
Adult
fish facility
right.
Task group. All right.
And then the last action item, this has been on the agenda for a bit. Again, we're exploring or attempting to get TDG data available that's being collected in Minto to the web, and just the logistics and the equipment that we need. And I'm working with Art and others on that to figure out what we have and what we need. So that's ongoing.
All right, moving on to updates. Andy.
All right, HMT was last week. Chris held the meeting because I was out of the office. So just kind of recapping the notes, Ryan Couture has been super helpful in developing a list to help deal with some of the deferred maintenance that's piling up at many of the hatcheries. They're just all reaching an age now that they have some larger maintenance items that need to be addressed. And we'd like to get a handle on those so we can include them in future budget submittals. Let's see, what else? We're working on the Lieberg property disposal process. The real estate office from the Corps sent a letter to ODFW to kind of notify them of our intent and how the process works. And real estate is continuing to work through the compilation of paperwork needed to perform that disposal. And then Chris has been working on the truck transfer of ownership at Minto and Foster, those fish hauling trucks. We gave the title or transferred the title to ODFW, and then as part of the contract, the Corps needs the title back so that we can furnish the trucks as government furnished property within the Willamette Valley contract. So that's moving forward.
Yeah.
Is that done, Chris?
So we're just waiting on plates.
Waiting on GSA plates.
Yep.
Cool. So as far as updates, the highlights, in the North San Am at Marion Forks and Minto, Greg reported some late BKD issues. But was hoping to pond fish this week. And down at Minto, about half the smolts were released last week, with flows moving down enough for a release. They had some interesting powder outages with some of the pumps not restarting, and it sounded like the crews at Detroit were returning from California, and when they do, they're going to take a look at some of those pumps. Constantly had some weird power issues there. In South San Diego and Foster, Brett talked about completing summer steelhead spawning and getting rid of the remaining brood stock. The facility there at Foster was shut down for annual maintenance, and it sounds like Fenton's work has been completed there. The ladder was watered back up and trapping has restarted. They ponded fry as well, and they've been tested and are looking pretty good. On the McKenzie, this first spring release was the last few days of January during some good flows, and they also released some excess smolt into the Rao River. They're also preparing the storage of hydrogen peroxide in McKenzie Hatchery to comply with Homeland Security requirements. That's been kind of an ongoing issue with the large storage of hydrogen peroxide at some of the different hatcheries that's used for kind of dealing with diseases. Homeland Security has been very interested in those large storages. So some different rules to apply there. Let's see. And then as far as the Middle Fork Willamette and a Dexter, it sounded like the first release from Dexter was beginning or actually was in the beginning of February. The next release is scheduled for the 1st of March, so tomorrow. Crews have been releasing transferred fish from the Coast Fork and also moving some Chinook juveniles back to South San Yam. That's about all I've got for that. If Ryan's on the line, you can add or correct anything I said. And Chris, you were actually there, so feel free to add anything.
I guess only one comment I'll make on the Mackenzie hydrogen peroxide storage, just if folks are interested. Large quantities of hydrogen peroxide is anything more than, I believe it's 40 gallons. So once we receive one full drum or barrel, then we're required to register with Department of Homeland Security and go through their storage requirements. So it's not like we're talking about, you know, hundreds or thousands of barrels. It's a barrel. That's one chemical that they're very restrictive on storage.
And Ryan, you guys are only keeping like 4 to 5 barrels throughout the season?
At Mackenzie, yeah, at a maximum. They'd actually moved away from peroxide for a few years just because of the Homeland Security requirements. But it is a chemical that does work well for a lot of our treatments. So Kurt's going through the hoops, so to speak, to get the security systems up and online to comply with their requirements.
Cool.
But yeah, four barrels or so.
All right, moving on to HGMP updates.
HGMP updates. So we had a summer steelhead HGMP task group meeting 2 weeks ago, Thursday. Kind of recapped much of the genetic research that's been going on in the last decade or so. Mark Johnson gave a presentation. And then Lance kind of walked through some of the different RPAs that were included in the 2008 buyout for summer steelhead and the actions that have been taken to address some of those. And so NIFS asked for a submitted summer steelhead HGMP by mid-March. So there's a draft that OEFW has put together that's really close, probably 90% of the material's in there, so it's not like the whole thing has to be written. And the Corps is reviewing it right now to kind of come up with what are the major issues or items that would need discussion or that would need to be addressed to kind of see if that timeline's even feasible. So that's where the summer steelhead HGMP sits. I talked about that first because Lance would like to include that summer steelhead HGMP in a consultation, a hatchery biop that includes the 4 spring Chinook HGMPs that were submitted last year. And he anticipates that whether or not the summer steelhead HGMP is included, that the hatchery biop will be completed by June. And Ricardo, you were there, and Ryan, I know you were there as well, so feel free to add anything, but that was my understanding from the meeting.
Yeah, no, that's what I was tracking also.
Cool.
Yep, sounds good, Andy.
Great, moving on to research updates. Benton or Ricardo?
We are planning our 2018-19 studies, but we do have some that are starting up here pretty soon. One at Foster to evaluate the new fish weir that will start in the middle of March, and we plan to do a block treatment study similar to what we've done with the old weir for the last 4 years. And Mary Karen and I will start routing the SOR this week. I was waiting on the final block treatment design from PNNL, but it'll be the same thing. And I'm hoping we can get the turbine plus spill. I don't know what your water predictions will be, but that's my hope. If not, we'll have to go to the 2 treatments, either spill or turbines, like we did back in 2015 or so. So
I would plan on not being able to get both.
Okay.
It's low water.
Okay. So I have both sheets, okay. And I'll run them by you first and have you take a look before I send it out.
Okay.
So that's Foster, the downstream passive study, and that study will go from March until about mid-June.
Is the weir in place yet? I heard there was problems
Tuesday.
With the lifting beam.
Yeah, there was. Well, not the lifting beam, but the picking eye on the new weir itself on the stop logs, and they're fixing it,
okay.
And we're installing it next Tuesday.
Okay.
And So the study, we'll do the little pool study again, same as the last 5 years or so, from March through sometime around the last week in April, and then we'll stop, raise the pool about a week to 10 days to high pool, and then do the high pool study from beginning of May to about mid-June. That's Foster Lookout Point. I was hoping that we would be able to do a spill test. What are your crystal ball telling us?
Minimum flow.
Right, but we're not even close to Spillway Crest yet, right?
Nope.
Yeah, I checked the teacups this morning. So we were hoping to get to Spillway Crest by now and do a spill test for 2 to 3 weeks. So we're just waiting to see what will happen, and then we'll talk to the Army team if we get too late into the season and we're not there yet.
Right.
So that's kind of on the table right now.
Okay.
Those are the new, or not the new, but the two Army studies that are happening now or soon. And then we're still planning on what next. Do you have anything to add to that, Ricardo?
No,
we don't have any other operational things that require coordination.
No, as of right now, there's no time.
All
right. I do want to give a shout out to Brett for the South Sandy. When they dewatered the ladder, we were able to go in there and modify that last pit antenna that's been hanging out there since last year. So now all the pit antennas are modified for lamprey and they're all working. And so we were able to do our work while he had the ladder shut down. And then we did the dive work to install the antennas. We had to shut down the Foster turbines, which I coordinated with Chris. We did all that right and got everything done before the ladder was watered off for fish passage, so we were able to get all that work done. So I do want to recognize Brett and his team for making sure that we're able to get all that work done before they fired up the ladder.
Nice job.
I know.
Nice planning, Ben.
I know.
Ben's birthday was this month, so if you get a chance to wish him a happy birthday, like today, would be good.
It's today.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, Fed.
Water quality updates?
I don't have anything, but we do have.
Well, Holly's our new water quality person in reservoir regulation. That's our update.
Oh, so you're going to tell me that we're going to get full reservoirs in the next week or so, right?
Oh, yes.
That's what you're here for. Because Mary Karen is telling me no, but you're going to tell me, oh, sure, we're going to get whatever spill you want to do, you can do.
But in terms of temperature or gas, we're really not measuring anything right now. All the gauges are not measuring, and we're not trying. I mean, our flows are low, so we shouldn't have any gas problems at all. We're not spilling, and temperatures are cool.
Right.
So,
good.
Yeah.
Flow?
We're currently, go ahead.
So flow-wise, we're really low. We've had some rain, but not very much, really. Overall, for the water year, we've only received about 93% of average precipitation. A lot of that was in the fall and winter. And snow right now, our snowpack is about 61% of average, so that's pretty low. Although it's not as low as 2015 was at this point in time. We are storing some water. Our system-wide inflow is about 12,000, and we're releasing about 4,500 CFS. So system-wide we are storing, but just overall all the projects are really low. We're 20% below roll curve. Overall only about 23% full. So we have a lot of catching up to do. Our short-term forecast indicates not much catch-up. Our long-term forecasts indicate that probably the reservoirs won't fill, but there's a lot of time between now and spring, and or May, when they're supposed to be full, so we'll just have to see what the weather brings us.
So I'll plan on most likely Foster, then it'll just be the two treatments, spill or turbines, but not both.
Okay.
Only
because that weir's so big.
Yeah.
I mean, if it were the little weir, but
yeah,
it's
a
big
flow. This is double
flow.
The flow, yeah, 530.
Triple.
CFS.
Mary Karen, I had a question. This is Ann Mullen. I think I noticed that Big Cliff was releasing less than the minimum, and then conversely, in the South Standing, it was higher than the minimum. I was just wondering if there was anything going on with Big Cliff that was going to bring that back up to the 1,200 CFS.
Actually, it's 1,000 right now in the biop, because we're just in our rearing flow level. So we're right at 1,000 in the North Santa Am. In the South Santa Am, Green Peter is passing its minimum flow of 50 CFS, and we're keeping Foster Pool flat. And so it's just passing the local flow, and the local flow is more than minimum flow. We're not storing because we're going to be putting in the weir and doing the weir test. So we want an empty pool at Foster.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, did anyone from BPA join us? If not, we have no BPA updates. Dustin or Eric, do you have an update on the Cougar Fish Facility?
Actually, can I butt in real quick?
Yes, you may.
And one thing at Foster, the minimum flow right now is 800, so if you see it go down to 800, that's the biop minimum flow for this time of year. And then there's going to be a meeting next week to talk about winter steelhead, so March 15th, our flows go back up per the biop in both the North and South Santa Am, so we'll be talking about that pretty soon.
Yeah, Ann et al. I sent an email yesterday inquiring about when we can meet next week to discuss biop flows, just so you know.
So,
okay, I'll watch for that.
Okay.
So, Mary Karen, I have a follow up question then. So, right now we're at minimum 800 for Foster.
Well, no, we're passing in flow.
Right.
Keeping a flat pool. So, it's a little bit more. It should be like, the day average for yesterday was about almost 1,400.
Okay.
But that's all that local flow from the unregulated troop
that
comes in. Green Peter's only releasing 50 CFS.
But on the 15th, then you'll go to 15th of March, you're going to jump up to the 1,500 CFS?
Well, it depends on what the flow team determines.
Yeah, because the weir, that's when the study starts for the weir, and that's 530 plus spill or turbine, whichever we choose. So I'll have to calculate all those numbers. I'll run it by you. I'll check with you and see. But March 15th is when we would start, and we'll need that. We are putting in the weir on Tuesday, and I'll send a coordination email out. But we'd like the reservoir to be at 6:15. It's at 6. It was at 6:16 last week.
Good to send us emails so we know this.
I'll send it to you on the operators.
Yeah. And Chris, if you want to invite Fenton to our flow meeting, that'd be good, so then he can hear the discussion.
I'm done.
Are you?
Yes.
All right, any update on the Cougar Fish Facility?
Just that we're ramping up for the start of the season. There will be some work over the next month or so, Tammy, that is related to oil spill prevention, bearing coolers, and digital governors that will require us to do some commissioning operations up there that will make flows look a little bit erratic at times, something we've done before in different places in the valley, but it shouldn't impact operation of the fish facility.
Thank you. How about Fall Creek Fish Facility?
On track, contractors going hard. I mean, it is going to be another one of those right down to the wire to try to meet that timeline, but we have a good contractor there. The contract's been going well, and folks are incredibly busy trying to work through finishing stages of construction, component commissioning, and then full commissioning plans. So it will be a very busy month of March.
We are going to add one update, that's a pinniped update. On the Columbia on March 8th, we have a pinniped task group meeting for FPOM over there. It starts at 1 o'clock and it's in the Kritvik building if anyone's interested. I know Oregon has been invited, and the task group is chaired by NOAA Fisheries. They want to look at how the new letter of authorization at Willamette Falls will affect the work that goes on at Bonneville. So if anyone is interested in that, let me know and I'll send you the invite, or Aaron can send out that invite.
Yeah, I don't have that, so if you would send it to me, that'd be great, Tammy.
Okay. All right. Moving on to the Willamette Valley contract status. All right, so the Willamette Hatcheries, we awarded last year's option, and we will award this year's option by the end of August. The Desert Springs trout production, we still have awarded the base amount for 100,000 pounds for 2019 delivery. We have until July 1st to award the remaining options, assuming funding becomes available. And then there's an MOC that we'll discuss a little bit later regarding that. And then monitoring and evaluation, we are working on that. We're working on a MATOC through Walla Walla. We hope to award it by April, but
April 1st is the target date, yeah.
Okay. Any questions?
What did you say that MATOC, what's that?
It's a multiple award
task order contract.
It's one of the contract mechanisms that we have available where you have multiple contractors that have already been approved, and so it's a matter of awarding a task order against that. Walla Walla holds it, so we're working through that district. Any other questions? All right, moving on.
Yeah, Tammy.
Yes.
I got a quick question for you, Tammy. This is Ryan. So for the Willamette Valley Hatcheries, you mentioned award the option year by the end of August. That all makes sense. So I know Chris and Andy both talked about some minor modifications being the truck issue for Minto and Foster. Should we expect to see a modification prior to the end of August, or will those modifications be rolled into the option year one contract?
At this point, we'll have to talk to the contracting officer, but it may be easier to roll them all into the award of the second option year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
In talking with them, it sounds like, depending on what the modification is, sometimes we can do it relatively quickly, and I think we've been told, oh yeah, we can issue a mod in a couple of days, but we haven't actually seen that occur, so it may be easier for everyone involved just to do a big bundle of them. And in that case, yeah, maybe we do just wait until August.
Okay, yeah, and that makes sense from my standpoint, from whatever that's worth, so that works.
Okay.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks.
All right, moving on to coordination forms. The first one is the Lookout Point MFR.
Yeah, that was related to a hydraulic fluid release at Lookout Point. I sent that out about a week ago, last week sometime with the agenda. And so comments are due 2 weeks from that point, whatever date that is. Apparently there was a water leak where water went into an area where we had some absorbent material, which made its way to the tail race. So that's what that MFR is all about.
Any additional comments on that? All right. The second one is the 18WVP01. That's the MOC regarding trout and emene. The first comment I'd like to make is coordination date should say 28 February, not 21. And the response date is 14 March rather than the 7th of March. So you have 2 weeks. If you have any comments now or you have any questions, we can discuss it. Otherwise, we'll need input by the 14th.
I have some questions.
Okay.
This is Bernadette. Can you give us an update on the funding shortfall? Last year I thought that you guys indicated it was a one-year issue, and here we are again with the same issue. So just interested in what the issue is this year and if it's likely to continue in the future.
Well, it's probably more than likely to continue, but this last year I didn't have funding for M&E. This year I do have that funding. What I don't have is funding for trout. But since last year there was a desire to be able to weigh M&E versus trout, that is what we are offering this year for discussion.
So is there a difference in those funding pots?
Well, the president's budget comes with line items to specifically point out what gets funded and what doesn't. So there is a, there's a difference on paper, but I mean, if you guys decide that you want to fund trout over M&E, I can make that happen.
So the president's budget indicates, gets to the level of detail of M&E versus trout?
Yes.
So the MOC is weighing what our potential options are, knowing that we are short, not knowing exactly how short we are because we're still waiting on the M&E bids to come through, but it's allowing the region to kind of weigh both of those options, comment on that, and then further discuss.
So you talk about spawning surveys in this MOC. What about the rest of the hatchery RM&E that's called out in 9.5.1? Are you just looking at spawning surveys, or are you looking at the full RPA?
For this particular task order, we're looking primarily at spawning surveys in terms of the funding that we do have, that being a major one in the buyout.
So do you have funding for the other components?
What was that?
Do you have funding for the other parts of the RPA there?
A lot of the information that needs to be collected will be collected from the hatchery when they handle those fish. What specific part of the RPA are you most concerned about, Bernadette?
Well, 9.5.1 has, you know, several components to it, and all you're talking about is spawning surveys, so it's unclear what would be included in that or what wouldn't, or what might be included in other funding. The MOC doesn't have enough detail to tell what's going on.
So the MOC is really asking you to consider, because the RPA does say that we will do annual spawning surveys for spring Chinook, and that is what we are trying to address here, is doing the annual spawning surveys for spring Chinook. And it's asking you all to prioritize, do you want the spawning surveys? Do you want, because we've already funded 100,000 pounds of trout, so do you want to drop a sub-basin of spawning surveys to fund more trout? What is it that you really want? Because there's only so much money that can be used, and it's not likely that we are going to be getting additional funds.
Can I, this is Anne.
I have,
this is Anne.
Yes,
sorry, this
Anne.
Is Anne. I just want to say something real quick. It feels like you're asking the ODFW to direct you on your responsibilities under the RPA, and that's really confusing for us at NIMS. We feel like the RPA is the cores, and there isn't like a decision, we'll do this year and not next year, but I know you guys are aware of your responsibilities, so it's just confusing. Are you trying to ask somebody else to tell you whether or not
no.
to do them?
No, and let me make it clear that any input on an MOC is not a directive, it is a recommendation. And that is what WFPOM provides, is recommendations to the Corps. We will take that input and weigh it and make the decision that we still need to decide, or that we still need to make. However, last year it was very clear that WFPOM wanted to have input on the prioritization of M&E versus trout. Last year we funded trout over M&E, and that did not seem to sit well with everybody, which is fine. That was the decision that we had made last year for reasons that were internal. This year, I'm letting you know that there's still a budget shortfall, and for O&M, this is likely to continue into the future. And this year, I am giving you the opportunity, as best I can, to allow you to provide input on which you consider to be most important, given the limited funding we have. I understand that, ideally, we would fund both of them fully. We do not have that capability. So, lacking that capability, you can provide input and help provide some guidance as to how you would like us to proceed, or provide no input, and we will proceed in the manner that we feel is going to best meet our needs and the buy-off.
So I want to be clear that last year the it wasn't that we wanted the opportunity to trade off trout for RM&E. We were concerned that the decision was made without any discussion with the group, and it didn't include other O&M items that may be of lesser priority. It wasn't that we wanted the option to pit these two things against each other, which are pretty unrelated. We certainly need more time to review this internally. We just got it yesterday, as you know, so we don't have any response prepared now. But I think, as Anne was suggesting, you can expect that our response will include that we feel that both of these items are obligations that the Corps has, either under the RPA or through your mitigation responsibility. And the risk you assume in not funding one or the other is really a risk that the Corps needs to decide. And there's, you know, social, political, legal implications to both. And I don't think, as you suggested, that it's a directive that should come from anyone in this group. It's really something the Corps needs to weigh internally.
And we will. And last year when we did that, there was a lot of backlash to that. So this year, I am asking for your input to help us make that decision. That doesn't mean you get to make the decision, but to at least provide some input so that we have some of those concerns to weigh when we make our final decision. And right now, M&E and trout are the only two areas where we have the flexibility. And if you would rather we say, okay, well then the M&E is a biop requirement and we're going to fully fund it, what that results in is less trout. Now, last year, NOAA Fisheries had indicated that they might be willing to discuss potential options for reducing M&E. Recognizing that it is still in the biop and it still needs to be done, but given the circumstances, there may be some wiggle room there. All I'm doing is providing you the opportunity to, whether or not there is wiggle room, indicate that in writing so that we can include it in this MOC.
So I guess once you guys make a decision, though, that you're not going to fund both of these, then what you're asking for is kind of split the baby and don't fund part of one of them. And that's a bizarre thing because like Bernadette said, we're not telling you to not fund either of them, but you're telling us you won't fund both of them. So that is the Corps' decision. You're not going to fund both of them. And now it's like a prioritization of which one not to fund that comes back to others.
That's correct. So Congress only allocated so much funding that I can spend on this. I can make the decision, and we would likely prioritize M&E over trout.
And just to be clear for me, I'm not on the RM&E team, but the M&E money is going to come from O&M. That's where your limit is. You have an O&M budget that doesn't include this M&E, and it doesn't come out of the RM&E budget either.
What I have is a pot of money that can be spent on baseline M&E, and some of it can be spent on trout. I do not have enough money to fully fund both activities. Given that I do not have enough money to fully fund both activities, I am asking if there is a preference of one over the other. If there's no preference, then that's fine. We will make that decision internally. What I wanted to do that didn't happen last year is make sure that you are aware that we have to do some trade-offs here. And now you have the opportunity to say, well, given that you only have X amount of money and you need to do all of these activities, here's the priority we would like to see them funded in. Because these are what are most important to us right now. And you can choose not to respond. That's okay too. But I am not asking any of you to actually prioritize and direct us. I am asking for your input as to what your preference would be given the situation. I can't print money to fully fund both of these activities. All I can do is work with the budget I've been given.
And there could be an opportunity as well to do a little bit of both.
Well, we will do a little bit of both. We've already funded 100,000 pounds of trout.
Right, but we can shape it. The region can shape it somewhat in terms of providing comments.
Right.
To those alternatives or options that were listed in the MOC, where it shows various poundages, various levels of spawning surveys, and then at the end it just depends on the funding.
Correct. That's all I'm asking is your preference would be that we fund them in this order as money becomes available.
Hey, this is Ryan. I have a quick question on the M&E work. So you mentioned spawner surveys in the sub-basins and then some through the options, there's essentially fewer sub-basins that would be sampled. So does that, would that include the monitoring, fish counting that currently takes place at the non-adult fish facility? So I'm referring to the Lieberg Ladder as well as the Bennett trapping facility, because quite frankly, in those sub-basins, that is where we determine and collect that information to determine PHAS, say above Lieberg Dam, et cetera.
Fish counting at Lieberg and Bennett are not included in the M&E.
Right, this particular M&E. I know there was discussion at R&E, but again, I don't attend those meetings to support another study, but I couldn't tell you any details or...
Yeah, South NEM?
North
NEM?
Yeah, but... We don't have those details worked out yet, do we?
No. Jake McDonald's working on that.
So we know that those counts are important. I personally see the value in them. I know a lot of other people do, too. What is the reason that we're not including those in the M&E contract?
Initially...
They're not in the buyout.
Yeah, but we know that they're...
So
good
we
to
have
do, and
to
everyone
fund.
Sees the value in them, so
they're
why
not in the
would
buyout, and that is not what we are funding this year. We are trying to meet the RPA.
So the buyout does request that you determine the survival rate of outplanted fish, and so it specifies above the dams on both of those, and then to use the information about PHAS to figure out what's going on with hatchery fish on the spawning grounds. So the returning adults coming back and telling you what is the composition of hatchery and wild fish, I think that's part of broodstock management. I mean, maybe we should be more explicit. We could take that line in the buy-up and say this is what it means and why it would include counting the PHAS. I think that would be helpful for us to do in response to this.
That would be very helpful. It would be very helpful for the next buy-up to be very explicit as to what is meant by the M&E that is requested or required.
Well, we're still in this buy-up, so we might want to clarify for you in this one as well. I think that's what I'm hearing.
I think that'd be helpful, Ann. I know in the past that we've interpreted some of the instructions in the buy-up regarding PHAS to utilize the available equipment and facilities that we have, including the counts of Lieberg. That's very helpful in determining PHAS. So if we need all those things explicitly spelled out, I guess we'll have to work with you to help... to help shape those.
Yeah, I think that would be helpful. I mean, I think that treating, like last year, the spawning surveys as optional probably something we hadn't anticipated, so we'll make sure that that's clear that that wasn't an optional thing, and that if you have a different way of getting PHAS besides that, we could talk about how that would work. But yeah, sounds like we should have a discussion about that too.
Yeah, I think the Lieberg Ladder is a good example of that, where if the contractor or whomever is performing spawner surveys below Lieberg Ladder, yet hatchery fish are passing up above Lieberg Ladder through that continued operation, then we wouldn't have a handle on what PHAS is above the Lieberg Ladder without those counts.
Recognize also that we don't own Lieberg and Bennett. So requiring us to do work on facilities that are not our own will require that we discuss that with our Office of Counsel and our policy folks.
But that was never discussed previously, because weren't those funded in the past?
We had funded Bennett as an interim while Minto was being rebuilt. Sometimes those decisions get lost because they're not written down, and we continued to fund it. But it was the accounts at Bennett were primarily because Minto was being rebuilt.
I have one more comment on this MOC. You talk about the predation of naturally produced spring chinook in the reservoirs using, I guess, the Corps' professional judgment. The Corps has funded studies in the past that have looked at stomach contents of predators in the reservoirs, so I recommend you review those reports and look at what they found in terms of rainbow trout predation on juvenile chinook, which was actually pretty rare in the reservoirs.
We can do that. Any other comments on that MOC right now? You have until 14th of March to get additional input to us, preferably in writing. All right, moving on to the WPOP, Chris.
Sure, so the change forms that are listed under the WFOP were carryover from last month's meeting. The first one we already talked about in regards to maintenance schedules, again, waiting on BPA to give the AOK to send those out to folks. It says pending, however, they won't be included in the WFOP, but again, the compromise was to send those to folks, again, if BPA will allow that. The second change form is in regards specifically to maintenance periods at Big Cliff. And I think to address that, I need to get the right people in the room to talk about the change form that was submitted. One person being Tim Ernster, who's the O&M manager in the North Santa, who can better address the specific issues with the change form. And then Greg Taylor, myself, Diane Dishman, and Elise Kelly, and others to kind of resolve that specific change form. So an action for me will be to follow up on that. And then the last change form is related to fish passage at Cougar Dam. Over the last several years, we've done a fish passage operation through the RO at night during the winter. And I just need additional details from Greg Taylor to shore up the time window and the conditions on when we would do that operation. So that one should be pretty easy to resolve. Once BPA okays the first one, that's easy to resolve. The one that's going to take a little additional time is those maintenance periods at Big Cliff Dam, which again, I'll follow up on. Any questions from folks on the phone?
All right, moving on to any task group updates. So Summer Steelhead met the 15th. Do we have any update for Swift?
I do have an update from Rich for Swift.
Oh, excellent.
I will read it. So this is a Swift update. We are in the process of funding and getting researchers started. Intent is to reconvene Swift later in the spring to work on a flow analysis and adaptive management plan. So it sounds like they're kind of in a holding pattern right now while they get the research up and going, and we'll reconvene in the spring.
All right, any questions on that? Anything else?
Yeah, I have one more thing. So folks on the phone that are involved with the flow management meeting that we undertake each year, I'm trying to schedule a meeting next Wednesday sometime or sometime next week, and I wanted to get input at least from those involved, what would work on Wednesday. And I know you're on, and I don't know if you have access to your calendar or not.
But yeah, I did see that, and that I'm actually in a training that day, so I wouldn't be able to do it Wednesday.
Okay.
I'm getting ready to write back to you.
Okay, yeah, just submit a day and a few times that work better for you so that we can make it work for Elise and others as well, and those of us at the Corps also.
Yeah, if we looked past that, is Thursday afternoon a possibility for you guys? Do you know offhand?
Mary Karen's saying yes. I have to look at my calendar.
Okay. All right, I'll send that back and leave Friday open too.
Okay.
And also our mid-March? Looking way ahead.
Oh, way ahead. Okay. And then if you have your calendar, how about March? Does the second Wednesday in March work? That was our placeholder last year.
Yeah, not this particular March. We are out of town, Diane and I both were.
Okay, well, just send that in the same email. That'd be great.
Okay.
Actually, so our main stem flow targets start April 1st, so I do think that we need a flow management meeting before April 1st to get together, and also...
So I had it the third Wednesday for some reason on my calendar.
Oh,
well, that's what we need to firm up. It's just, since it's kind of a drought type year, you know, I think we're going to have maybe not weekly meetings, but every other week meeting, and a good time and date for the team to meet.
Okay.
Every like Thursday at 1 o'clock or whatever. Because I think we'll be meeting all spring.
Hi, everybody. This is Natalie. I'm sorry I called in late. Does anybody have any questions for Fall Creek?
I think we're good. Eric did a summary, quick summary.
Excellent. Thank you.
All right. If there's nothing else, I'd say we are adjourned. Thanks, everyone, for calling in.
Thank you.
Thank you.